Welcome into Morning Invest, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris. This is the show that teaches you how to become financially free so you can invest in yourself. And we are live every morning right here at 9 a.m. Eastern time. So join us because we start a little bit early. We have our pre-show where we kick it old school, have some coffee, say hello. Grover is here this morning. He's chilling out. He's the only co-host of a morning show. Only dog co-host of a morning show. And my producer, David, is in the booth.
Good morning.
Running the show. Top of the muffin to you. Coming up on today's show, we need to pass new stimulus right now. We just got some stunning new numbers out this morning. We'll dive into those numbers on the economy. Also, the head of the United Nations. We don't get to hear from him very much. He was calling for an international wealth tax. And Bernie Sanders basically did a cartwheel when he heard this news. He was so stinking happy. And a $70,000 minimum wage. You heard me right. Will it work? We're going to show you the proof is in the pudding this morning on the show. Who's calling me? Literally calling me from New York right now.
It's not me.
Don't call me. I'm in the middle of a show. Who's calling me? Don't call me. Good morning, everyone. Morning Invest starts right now. All right, let's talk about the markets this morning. We'll check in on the markets and see where things are going because, boy, yesterday we had that Coinbase IPO went public and everyone went crazy with this. How many of you bought into Coinbase yesterday? The euphoria around Coinbase, it dipped. It kind of got back down to where it sold in the morning. It skyrocketed to like $429 a share. Then it went back down in the 300 range this morning in early hours. It's up again. So all over the place on this Coinbase. Let's check in on Bitcoin, though, because this also bounced yesterday and then pulled back a little bit. 62,000 right now for Bitcoin, down about 2.74%. Up is Ethereum at this hour. Ethereum looking great, man. I'm telling you, if earlier in the week you bought into Ethereum when I told you to, it was at right around 2,100. Then the next day it was at 2,300. Today it's at 2,400. I'm telling you. Ethereum bulls think this thing could go to 10,000 very soon. Gold prices, look at gold up this morning. Gold has bounced back and silver has bounced back. Here's a trivia question for you. Who was the entrepreneur that went out west to sell? David, do you know this question? Or anyone in the chat, I'd be curious if anyone in the chat knows the answer to this question. Put it in here. Put it in here. By the way, if you get this correct in the chat, I will give you a Grover mug for free. Okay,
one
this
person
is for
or
a free
everybody.
Grover mug. No, one person. The first person that gets
okay.
This correct.
That's a good.
Can
good
you
to
name
clarify.
in the 1800s? Yeah, I want to clarify that. In the 1800s, there was an entrepreneur that went out west to sell mining equipment to all of the San Francisco Gold Rush people. Went out to California to sell mining equipment to the people who were doing the gold mining.
I have a guess.
This person. Okay.
Jed
Clampett. You have a guess. I'm going to see if Jed Clampett. Congratulations. Oh, no. Someone says JP Morgan. Dinder Mathis says Levi's. You got it, Dinder. Dinder's Mathis. Dinders, can you send our team an email? Send us an email at team@morninginvest.com. team@morninginvest.com. It was Levi Strauss. Levi Strauss.
The jeans guy.
And Dinders, I don't even think you're a... Dinders is not even a channel member. Wow, Dinders got it. Okay, so there you go, the jeans guy. Yeah, and then started selling jeans, the riveted jeans out there as well. So,
well, that's what they always said. They said the money's not in the gold at that time. The person that was in the money was in the person with the pickaxes and shovels and tools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right, let's talk stimulus this morning and why I think it's incredibly important that we pass new stimulus right now. We got some new numbers out overnight, and I wanted to go over these things because what's interesting is that the COVID numbers from stimulus and vaccines, the stimulus numbers, spurred a March retail sales surge. And economists expect government aid, eased business restrictions, and warmer weather contributed to jump in spending. And what we're seeing now is this euphoria emerging around the Wall Street. We're seeing this euphoria emerging around Bitcoin and Coinbase and earnings season. JP Morgan, we saw huge earnings. We see a huge earnings this morning for Bank of America. Their quarterly net income more than doubled. They had an exceptional first quarter. And yesterday I was watching, so funny to watch all these guys on Wall Street, and they're saying, oh my gosh, this is the heyday. This is fantastic. And so we see these numbers now from the stimulus showing what an effect this had on our economy in March as people started to get those $1,400 checks. Remarkable thing happened. I know this is going to be stunning to all of you, but guess what? It actually helped the economy. People were able to pay off debt. They were able to buy groceries. They were able to put food on their table. They were able to pay rent. They were able to pay mortgages. And it helped businesses. So again, Wall Street's happy. Profits are up. Bank of America, all these banks doing great. Consumer price index goes up. So the cost of things goes up. It affects those people who are, you know, most in need, right? People who will notice, like you ask Bill Gates, like how much does a gallon of milk cost? He doesn't know. He doesn't have any idea. You probably do. So when the price of things rises 2%, and we see the effects of how strong stimulus has been on the economy, the need right now, with a number of other pieces of data that I'm looking at this morning, the need right now is to pass additional stimulus immediately. Fed Chief Jerome Powell also yesterday coming out and talking about how the economy is looking fantastic. The Fed yesterday, another Fed member basically added additional icing to the cake, saying that they're going to keep interest rates low for the next few years and that they see exceptional growth for the economy. Great. But you know who this always benefits, right? It's the rich. Wall Street. The wealthy. And so what I fear is happening is this. Let me go to the whiteboard, okay? Now my handy dandy whiteboard this morning. And this is exactly what's happening. So this K-shaped recovery that we talked about is happening, right? So we saw this huge decline during the pandemic, right? And then, wow, things started to really bounce back, okay? At the top of the K. But what else is happening right now is there's a huge divergence. Wall Street over here, you've got, how should I draw Wall Street? I don't know. Just at, what's a good image for Wall Street? Just money sign. Oh, how about a money bull? Sign? Wall Street money sign. Yeah, but that's, I want to draw a bull. Okay. There's a bull.
That's a happy bull.
Okay. All right. That looks like a bat.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, I think I just drew a bat.
I'm glad you said it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good because blood sucking is like Wall Street, so that kind of makes sense. Vampire bat.
Yeah. Okay. So here's a happy bull. Okay. This is Wall Street over here. They're doing little Quigley too. Rabbit. this is a Wall Street rabbit. Oop. Don't disappear on me. So here's the K, right? And then down here is the other part of the K. And this is most of America right here. And so this K-shaped recovery, we're seeing this huge divergence right here in the center. And that's the huge problem right now, is that this area right here, it's the haves and the have-nots. And so what we're seeing even today is new troubling numbers on housing. We're seeing mortgages. We're seeing a huge problem, obviously, with people that are behind on their rent, behind on their mortgages, and housing fears are real, folks. Yesterday, just to give you a sense of how bad it is and the difference between the haves and the have-nots right now, like yesterday, everyone on the business channels was all euphoric and happy and talking about earnings and JP Morgan and Bank of America earnings and all of this stuff, just doing fantastic, right? And then you have Google searches exploding, people looking for what it's going to cost, or Google searches, when will housing market crash? Listen to this. This is literally what people are searching for right now because they're worried about when the housing market's going to crash.
Hi, Ty. Yeah, if you needed any more proof that the market is red hot, the Google search, when is the housing market going to crash, spiked 2,450% in the past month. Why is the market so hot? Searches doubled in just a week last week. And how much over asking price should I offer on a home in 2021? Jumped 350%.
Okay, so let me just show you on the screen here why this is interesting, okay? Number one, at the top of the screen here, you say, when will the housing market crash? That search is up 2,400%, okay, for people that are worried about when the housing market's going to crash. Then at the bottom of the screen, you have the haves, right? How much over the asking price should I offer on a home? It's a tale of two economies, isn't it? It's at the top, you have people worried about losing their home. And at the bottom, you have the people who are worried that they're not offering enough on a house. Where do you fall in this camp? 2,450% increase. You don't think that there are worries about the housing market right now? All of these people that are behind on their mortgages, can't afford to pay rent. The need for stimulus is immediate. I just love, this is again, how. But these, I love how these financial channels just ignore this irony. It's like the housing market's on fire. That's how she started out this report. And by the way, I think she's a great reporter, but I mean, this is how, and she's on TV, right? This is how they do it, right? But look, this is how she starts off this report. What if she would have said instead, there are real concerns about the housing market? Like, isn't that the bigger headline here?
Hi, Ty. Yeah, if you needed any more proof that the market is red hot, the Google search, when is the housing market?
I don't get it, though. If you need any more answers as to if the housing market is red hot and the top search result is
going to crash,
when is it going to crash? Am I on another planet? Do you not see the disconnect here? Am I missing something?
2,450% in the past month. Why is the market so hot? Searches doubled in just a week last week. And how much over asking price should I offer on a home in 2021? Jumped 350%. So is the housing market in a bubble? Well, prices in February were up just over 10% year over year, according to CoreLogic. That is the largest annual jump since 2006 because demand is strong and there is record low supply. 42% of homes this month are selling for above asking price, according to Redfin, hence the Google search on overpaying. CoreLogic's chief economist, Frank Nothap, told me, I have to admit, I'm worried when I hear that, because that means it's an auction market. But mortgage rates are now rising, and mortgage applications to buy a home are falling, causing Redfin's chief economist, Daryl Fairweather, to say that whether or not it's runaway home price speculation or a housing bubble, she doesn't think so. Now, Nothap said he expects to see annual home price gains nationally cool to the 3% range. But all real estate is local, and some markets, especially the hottest ones, now could see prices fall slightly. Many of those are in the West, like Idaho, Washington State, and Arizona, where Californians have flocked during the recent exodus. Tyler?
Tony Joslin in our chat says it's all going to crash from bottom up. It started. Yeah, Kim R. says it's not easy to get a financial loan for a mortgage. No, it's not. It's not. It's still very difficult to get a loan and all of the hoops and hurdles you have to go through. And, you know, it's quite amazing to see, though, this disconnect, I think, from Wall Street and Main Street. I mean, that's to me the real difference here is that Main Street is suffering. And if this housing collapse comes, and by the way, Richard Burry, of course, who famously shorted the housing market during the 2007 crash, they made a movie about him, you know, the Big Short, says it's happening again. So fool me once, right? Like no one paid attention to him then. So that's why we need an immediate stimulus. And this infrastructure bill we learned this morning is going to be pushed until the end of May. DeFazio from Oregon, of course, representative, said that he wanted to have this bill written and marked up and done by the beginning of May. We now learned this morning that that's not going to happen. It's being pushed until the end of May. That could also push Nancy Pelosi's July 4th timeline back. She wanted to this bill, the infrastructure bill, to come out in July 4th. That doesn't look like it's going to happen. So, you know, there's an immediate need, I believe, when you see this K-shaped recovery happening. It's just all of these people down here who are out of work, all the people down here who are permanently out of work, permanently lost their jobs, hospitality, right? Restaurants, right? All of this gone. So many of these jobs just permanently gone. And so these people down here, even though we got good jobs numbers yesterday where it was fewer unemployment applications, still many of these people have just left the workforce permanently, permanently out now.
While the bats
these
and
people
rabbits
are doing fine.
While the bats and rabbits celebrate.
Right. While this bat and this little rabbit and this little butterfly. This little butterfly is doing great up here on Wall Street.
Everybody said your art class is paid off,
by the way. Let me know in the chat. Yeah. I have to admit, it's a little hard to draw on this when I'm like, I'm one-handed over here. Like I'm like stretching over here to do it. So I blame it on the, I blame it on that. I need to do art for kids. You know, that YouTube channel, Art for Kids. My kids love that channel. But you know, you got that story. And then on top of it, you have what United Nations is looking to do. United Nations General Antonio Guterres is calling on governments to impose a wealth tax on rich people who have profited from the pandemic. Hallelujah. Imagine that. Imagine. We could actually, a recent report found the world's wealthiest have seen their fortunes surge by $5 trillion since the start of the pandemic. Here's what Elizabeth Warren thinks about this wealth tax.
Now going to go vote. So I'm going to hand over the gavel to our ranking member, Senator Kennedy. If you mean Republicans all across this nation,
right?
In fact, they support a wealth tax. The majority of Republicans across America support a wealth tax, as do the majority of independents and the majority of Democrats. It's the folks in the Senate and the House who say no, 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 because they're the ones who are beholden to the giant corporations, to the billionaires, and their big promise is that they are the tax cut people so that the rich can get richer. And somebody's going to have to pay to keep this government going, and they're willing to just keep shoving that off onto middle-class folks, working-class folks. Shoot, doing it through cuts, they managed to shove it off onto poor folks. And what this debate is really about is about talking about forms of taxation that are truly progressive, forms of taxation that raise a lot of money and put some basic fairness in the system. Now, you know me, give me a chance and I'll talk about the wealth tax. 2-cent tax on fortunes above $50 million, we can raise $3 trillion over the next 10 years. That'll pay for a lot of preschool and childcare, a whole lot of infrastructure, just that one piece alone.
Yeah, well, $3 trillion could pay for that. Also help lift out millions of people out of poverty. I saw Kristen Swenson here said, oh yeah, yeah. Bezos supports the is totally fine with increase on taxes and the wealthy. He doesn't pay anything anyway. That's right. So they can make trillions, not pay anything. What do you think about that, Grover? He's exasperated by that garbage. But a wealth tax, United Nations calling for a general wealth tax on these pandemic profiteers. What do you think? Do you think that these businesses should pay if they profited off of people during this pandemic? You know, it's amazing to me seeing these banks, that are just flush with cash, seeing a quarterly net income more than doubling. Amazing.
Well, they should pay, even with the, you know, in spite of the pandemic.
Exactly. Like this is just, one piece of it, right? The pandemic is just, it really shone a light on these inequities. But they've been running from this for years. They've been running from these taxes. They've been you know, hanging out in these loopholes. They've been offshoring money, putting money up and setting up different headquarters in other countries like Ireland specifically, where they can pay nothing in taxes. Just amazing. Coming up, we're going to talk about the $70,000 minimum wage. It's an amazing story. You don't want to miss that. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at Netgear. Do you guys have crappy Wi-Fi in your house? Is your Wi-Fi struggling to keep up with your streaming, your work, your gaming, your video calling, and more? What about like trying to do all of that at one time? Like if you got kids and stuff? Well, when you're connected to your world by Wi-Fi, you need it to be the best. And that's why I'm telling you about Orbi. Orbi Wi-Fi 6 from Netgear. So what it is it's a whole home experience. They'll make your Wi-Fi feel young again. I love that. So what they do is you set up different Orbis in your house and it creates a mesh technology network throughout your whole home. This is not like one of those repeaters or anything like that. No. This is a mesh network. And Orbi is fantastic. Look what Forbes says. It's the fastest mesh system I've ever used. It also has the widest and highest quality coverage I've ever seen. Fantastic. And guess what? You're going to save 10% on America's number one choice for Wi-Fi at netgear.com/bestwifi and use the promo code MORNING10, MORNING10, right there on your screen. That's right. That's netgear.com/bestwifi with promo code MORNING10. You can do it in any part of the house and create this mesh network so you don't get these dead zones anymore. It is fantastic. Our thanks to Netgear for supporting the show. Thank you, Netgear. A little bossa nova break and a water break for you, by the way. I hope everyone's doing well. Any questions you have, drop them in here in chat.
Yeah, we have a couple.
On investing, anything you guys are... Yeah.
Anthony Garman says everybody should get into the stock market because Wall Street looks after its shareholders and then the government will take care of us. Brenda Vowell wants to know, how can I buy Ethereum?
Ethereum. Good question, Brenda. Well, you can use Coinbase if you want. I mean, Coinbase is, you know, all the hubbub around Coinbase. You go to coinbase.com, you can buy it there. I do all of my trading, though, on Binance. So if you go to morninginvest.com/Binance, that's where I buy ETH. Here's the symbol, ETH, right here on your screen. And right now, yeah, it's trading at 2,400. And, you know, what's great about crypto is you can buy like $100 of this. You don't have to buy a full coin. You could buy $50 of Ethereum. So that's one way to do it, is Ethereum. And Bitcoin up at 63. Yeah.
John Hamilton wants to know, can you do an interview with Charles Hoskins from IOHK? He built a new financial system called Cardano.
Yeah, Cardano. Yeah. I would love to.
And what John Christopher wants to know, what do you think about raising the corporate tax to 23% but cutting out every single loophole and subsidy for these corporations?
John, you bring up a great point because, John, that's the issue, right? Is that it doesn't matter if we raise the corporate tax rate from 21% to 23% to 25%. It doesn't matter because they're not paying it anyway. Because they're setting up headquarters in, you know, in Ireland, and they're paying ridiculous amounts of money. Or they're paying nothing at all because they're making ridiculous amounts of money. And they're paying 0% in taxes. So we need to close these subsidies and these loopholes. I mean, why the heck are gas companies getting subsidies? Why are fossil fuel companies getting subsidies right now?
And then one more, Jonathan Prince: tax cut on the rich was not bipartisan.
That's right. No, it wasn't. It was totally partisan. I want to tell you about this story, though. Listen to this story. $70,000 a year minimum wage. Okay. This story is unbelievable. It's out of Seattle. This guy, a few years ago, 6 years ago, made headlines. And I remember at the time, I was doing the news at the time, and I was on the air. And this guy, we heard about this guy, he was going to, instead of, he had all of his employees in a room, and he basically just went in and announced one day, I noticed there's an enormous amount of inequality in this company. You know, the CEO, I make 33%, 33 times what my lowest employees are making. it's hugely off balance, right? That's the huge argument that, of course, Bernie Sanders regularly makes. How are these CEOs continuing to make this amount of money when so many of their workers are even fighting to unionize, like in the form of Amazon, and they're getting pushed away and they can't do it? So this CEO decides that he is going to raise the minimum wage at his company so that every employee, the minimum they would make would be $70,000, okay? And conservative media, mainstream media, Fox specifically, went crazy on this. And I want you to listen to how they handled this about six years ago. Watch how they handled this.
Everyone that works here.
Have you seen the CEO of the Seattle-based company who raised the minimum wage at his credit card processing company to $70,000 per year?
Lunatic of all lunatics, Dan Price, CEO of Gravity Payments.
I hope this company is a case study in MBA programs on how socialism does not work, because it's going to fail.
That was Rush Limbaugh, right? I hope that this company, what this idiot is doing, is going to be a case study at MBA programs across the country for why this won't work.
Thoughts on this guy? Personally, I think he's a socialist, but
this is the man who's doing it. Are you a socialist?
Well, look, you know, I don't support a minimum wage increase because it's a job killer, but he's a private business owner. If he wants to do this in between hugging trees.
I have a hunch we're going to know Dan Price for a really long time, but the 130 employees of Gravity Payments, I think they're going to be on the welfare line soon.
I have to say, Eric, I think he's pretty foolish.
He's pretty foolish, huh? So the verdict is in on this. And it turns out, Dan Price tweeting, 6 years ago today, I raised my company's minimum wage to $70,000. Fox News called me a socialist whose employees would be on bread lines. Since then, our revenue has tripled. We're a Harvard Business School case study, and our employees had a 10x boom in homes purchased. Always invest in people. Wow. Take that. What are you, a socialist? I love you. What are you, this guy, he's a loon. This guy's a socialist.
Have you seen the CEO of the Seattle-based company who raised the minimum wage at his credit card processing company to $70,000 per year?
Lunatic of all lunatics, Dan Price.
Lunatic. He's a lunatic. Because he didn't want to do 33% times the salary of his lowest employee. He's a lunatic. Just, he's a nut job.
CEO of Gravity Payments.
I hope this company is a case study in MBA programs on how socialism does not work. Because
no, well, guess what, Rush? It is a case study. It is a case study at MBA programs, but on how it actually does work.
And since when is it socialism to pay people that work?
Right. Isn't it amazing? He's a lunatic. I think he's a socialist. What are you, a socialist? Like, throw it around like it's such an insult.
How dare you pay your people good wages, sir?
Personally, I think he's a socialist, but
this is the man who's doing it. Are you a socialist?
Are you a socialist?
Look, you know, I don't support
a man. Are you a socialist? I don't support a man. Look, I don't support this, Lisa Booth says.
Minimum wage increase because it's a job killer.
It's a job killer, she says. It's a job killer. And by the way, this isn't even like a $15 an hour minimum wage increase. This is a $70,000 a year minimum wage.
But he's a private business owner. If he wants to do this in between hugging trees.
I have a hunch we're going to know.
Between hugging trees. Like,
yeah.
So that's how we denigrate people, right?
She's saying it's a job killer.
You're an environmentalist.
Right.
Right.
She say it's a job killer, but what do you mean? It's a job killer for like Wall Street companies that don't, you know, all these other companies that don't pay well.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Dan Price for a really long time. But the 130 employees of Gravity Payments, I think they're going to be on the welfare line.
So. They're going to be on a welfare line. So what actually happened here? Well, since our $70,000 minimum wage was announced 6 years ago, today our revenue tripled. Headcount grew 70%. Customer base doubled. Babies had their staff grow 10 times. 70% of employees paid down debt. Homes bought by employees grew 10x. 401k contributions grew 155%. Turnover dropped in half. Some job killer, huh?
I don't see anything in there about how many trees were hugged.
Yeah, what about the trees that you hugged? How many trees did you hug, you environmentalist socialist? He says, after our 70K minimum wage, 76% of employees are engaged at work, two times the national average. Customer attrition fell to 25% below the national average. We expanded to a new Boise office and enacted 70K minimum wage there. Our highest paid employee makes 4X our lowest paid employee, down from 33 times. Our highest paid employee makes 4X our lowest paid employee, down from 33 times.
Look at companies, like big companies, and think about what that percentage is. Like how many times more the CEO makes. Like, okay, so take Tim Cook, for instance. How many times more does Tim Cook make than their lowest paid employee? I would love to know that. How much does Bezos make over any of his employees?
Yeah, I know. It's unbelievable. And you look at this price on, so for instance, look what else he says here, which is, at the start of the pandemic, we lost 55% of our revenue overnight. Our employees were so invested that they volunteered to take temporary pay cuts to prevent any layoffs. We weathered the storm, paid everyone back, and are now giving out raises. Weathered the storm, paid everyone back, and are now giving out raises.
That's the thing, man. If you take care of people, and that's what I did. I was the CEO of a tech startup. And I paid all the guys the same, including myself. And when I handed out checks, I wanted them to know that I was making the same and that I didn't make more than them. And there were times when, you know, I let them set their own hours. They would be on the weekends working, and they took like ownership of what they were doing, because they were so, like, they just felt like we were all a team. Like, it felt like we were all in it together. And I feel like when you divide by pay or whatever, and you have these executives and stuff, it's like, they're always like unapproachable. Like your lowest level employee couldn't walk into Apple and say, "Hey, Mr. Cook, could I talk to you for a second?" You know what I mean? It's like, he's just beyond even reaching, you know? And it's like, there's no feeling of a connection with what you're doing, because you're a low level employee.
Exactly. Exactly. I love this guy. I love what he's done here. I think that this is really fantastic, you know, what this guy has done. And, you know, one thing I think that stands out is that, you know, he says, what helped inspire our 70K minimum wage? An employee was secretly working a second job at McDonald's. It was clear I was an awful CEO who was failing his employees. I gave her a raise to quit that job. No one should have to work two jobs to make ends meet.
Wow.
So he's,
I like
just
this
being
guy.
He said, clearly I was failing. Clearly I wasn't doing my job. You know, Bernie Sanders has praised this guy and said, you know, actually had a, like, did a town hall thing with him and said, "Dan, you know, you're amazing. Thank you for what you've done." I thought this was really interesting. I'll get to that in a second. You know, when you work at one of these big networks, you have a lot of the production assistants who are helping, you know, on the channel, and they're in the green room. They're helping getting guests ready for the show. They're like, "Come on down this way, Mr. Price. You're going to be on in this studio down here." And they wear little headsets, and some of the best people I ever worked with when I worked in television, they had these production assistant jobs. They work harder than just about anyone else. I'm serious. They're there for many, many long hours. They're booking segments. They're producing. They work so hard. They're getting paid peanuts. And so he talks about this. He was on Fox, okay, where he got called a socialist, you know. So when he was there for this particular segment,
I think he's pretty foolish.
Here, he was on TV for this. Where is that? Right here. He was on that show on Fox Business, okay? And they brought him on the set so they could be called a socialist. Are you a socialist? But behind the scenes, he says, when I've been on Fox News, the production assistants who led me through backstage confided they were making minimum wage and struggling to get by in New York City. I asked the hosts, who make seven figures and laughed at me on air, to talk about their workers' pay on the air. They always said no.
Well, and answer me this. What part of him paying his employees a livable wage makes him a socialist? Like, how can they even use that as a definition? That's like not even what that is.
Right.
They just want to throw that word around to scare people, because even now it's like they say that you know, UBI and all this other stuff is straight up socialism, and they're wrong. It isn't.
Yeah. I just don't get it. I mean, I don't understand. They use that as a form of derision, and yet we've never in world history had a country that was a purely socialist country like Marx envisioned, right? Never. It's never existed. There's been shades of it, but it's never existed. And when people want to throw away, oh, around Norway, and it's, you know, awful, and all, oh, yeah? One of the highest standards of living in the world, and it's not a socialist country. It's a market-based economy. Yes,
ask
they
Norwegians.
Have universal health care. Yeah. Are they socialist? They're going to say no, we're not. You know, but they have a higher standard of living. Their life expectancy is through the roof. They're happy. They don't move out of the country. They have no student loan debt. They have a living wage. They get paternity time off. You know, fathers get to actually spend time with their kids after they have a child. I think moms, they get a year paid vacation, paid time off with their baby. A year. Yeah, unbelievable. So huge shout out to this guy, Dan Price, for doing this. And congratulations. Now, 6 years later, always invest in people. See, you know, when people want to know, like, this is a business show. Like, we cover these stories. We cover financial news here on this show. But I come at it from this perspective, which is you don't have to rip people off. You know, you don't have to walk all over people like Wall Street does. You can do it instead of doing it like this guy, who busts unions and goes out of their way to make sure that people can't get access to high, you know, good working conditions. You have this guy.
Well, look, you know, I don't support a minimum wage increase because it's a job killer, but he's a private business owner. If he wants to do this in between hugging trees.
I have a hunch we're going to know Dan Price for a really long time, but the 130 employees of Gravity Payments, I think they're going to be on the welfare line. So.
What's with like hugging trees? Like, that's just, come on. It's just hilarious that that's where they go. Like, they're going to just degrade this guy because how dare you take care of your people? How dare you, sir?
Right. You going to go out and hug some trees? You know what I like to do? I like to go cut trees down.
This whole desk is made of a fine mahogany.
Big Worm says, how can he be a socialist? The same way Georgia's voting laws make it harder to vote. It's a big lie. Yeah. Yeah. Wouldn't it be awesome to be able to help people like this? You know, he took a risk. You know, he's like, hey, I want my employees to be taken care of. That's it. That's what I want. I want my employees to be taken care of. And if that means lower profits, we'll see. So then they 3x their profits and gave them raises during a pandemic. Good job. Good job, man. Yeah. Let's do some trades today, shall we? You guys want to make some money? So I want to show you some different altcoins. Let's check in on Ethereum right now. Ooh, Ethereum is up. If you guys bought Ethereum during the show, it's going up again. I bought big into Ethereum a few days ago. Bitcoin, hover around that 63,000. And gold up also. So I want to do some live trades, and I want to give you an example of an altcoin that I'm pretty bullish on right now. It's WIN. It's WIN. WIN. And so, you know, to buy some of these altcoins, you're going to want to do them on other exchanges. Coinbase doesn't have access to a lot of these altcoins. These are smaller cap coins, alternative coins. Now, what happens when you have Bitcoin dominance, which is what we've really been having lately, okay? When Bitcoin is dominant, then you have kind of a move away from these altcoins because everyone's just jumping into Bitcoin and Ethereum, okay? But when you start to see a pullback on Bitcoin, you're entering what's known as altcoin season. These are just some of the lingo terms, you know? So if you hear that being thrown around, Bitcoin dominance, altcoin season, they kind of ebb and flow. And right now, we're heading into this altcoin dominance. So any questions you have about this, drop them in the chat, any super chats you want, and I'll try to answer them here for you. Myra says, I'd rather hug a tree than them. Yeah. So here we go. So here is a coin that I'm looking at buying right now. I'm going to do it live here on the show. Okay. So this is WIN, WIN, okay? Now I'm using this with USDT. That's the coin that I'm pairing it with to buy. Okay, and I'm doing this on Binance.
When you say that, when you say so, you're combining it with that, what do you mean?
So you there's pairs, okay? There's coin pairs. So you see in the upper left-hand corner there, there's... It means that when you buy it, you can buy it kind of however you want, right? But when you sell it, it might be more favorable for someone to know that they can buy it with a BTC, with Bitcoin, as opposed to USDT. And you can kind of play with these a little bit and see. I had to learn this. My one of my mentors in this, my friend Cody, said, don't get caught up in this. Don't worry about, like, when you buy WIN, W-I-N, you're buying WIN. Don't buy, really care about the coin pair that you're buying it with. But when you're selling it, you may find that it'll sell better on the BTC market than it will on the USDT market. There might be more people willing to jump and grab this coin if it's tied to this other, in this other pairing situation, okay? So, you know, don't have to get too caught up in that, but that I was really caught up in that. I didn't need to be. And frankly, it just means that when I'm buying it now, if I have USDT available to buy, then I will, that's the coin that I will, the pair that I will buy it with.
And when you say so USDT, you're just meaning US dollar?
Yes, basically US dollar, a digital version of the US dollar, USDT.
Okay, so what you're saying basically is you can, when you're starting to buy something, you can decide whether you want to buy that in US dollar or you want to buy it, like if you're going to buy WIN, you could buy it with Bitcoin or you could buy it with something else.
Exactly. So USDT is just Tether, okay? USDT is Tether. It converts cash to digital currency, okay? It's basically just a stable currency that you can use to invest in other coins. A lot of people want to know, like, hey, is USDT the same as US dollars? And US dollars are, that are held directly in a bank account, USDTs are coins that are issued by Tether, which some exchanges will accept, but the money doesn't go into the exchange's bank account. It's just another coin. So basically, Tether, I always keep money in Tether as a reserve so that it lets me bounce and buy different coins, okay? So USDT, if you're on Binance, you might use their BNB coin. That's another one. Coinbase has their own, like, dollar-for-dollar coin. It's a stable coin called USDC. That's Coinbase's version. So I use Tether. Tether is really accepted widely. And it's basically like a reserve. It's like a savings account coin that I use to buy actual, you know, other coins, if that makes sense. If anyone has a question about that, I know it gets a little complicated. But it's issued by Tether Limited, if anyone's curious about that.
You should start a little series of videos and just like of showing you buying things and how you're doing that, because that still makes no sense to me. Like how do remember when Robinhood had that whole issue and they're like, we couldn't cover the money that was coming in or whatever, like they had to have so much to cover the losses. Is that kind of what that is, that you have to have another backing of something in case there's losses or whatever, like each company that you buy through, like Binance or Webull or whatever, they have to have their own backing?
No, so let me show this. So let's say I have a U.S. dollar, paper U.S. dollar in my hand, and I don't. How do I get that paper dollar into the crypto market? Okay, the way that I do it is I take that dollar from my bank account and I transfer for it. I buy on Coinbase their version of the U.S. dollar. Basically. So Coinbase has a one-for-one exchange dollar called USDC on Coinbase. So now I'm crypto, right? I've converted my $1 into $1 of USDC. Then that USDC, now I transfer it out of Coinbase. I don't use Coinbase because the fees are too high. I transfer my USDC over to Binance. Okay, that's what I use. Now I have USDC. I might be able to buy certain coins with USDC. I might have to convert it, which is no big deal. I could just convert it almost like instantly into USDT. I can convert it into BTC, into Bitcoin. Like everybody accepts Bitcoin pretty much, right? So I could just convert that into Bitcoin. Now I can buy, I could buy this WIN coin with Bitcoin. I could buy WIN with USDC. I could buy it with USDT.
Well, heck, then
with Binance, you can even use your credit card too. You could buy directly with US dollars right into Binance if you want to. Just depends on your credit card and if they'll allow it.
Why buy from Coinbase in the first place? Why not just go to Binance and get the USDT instead of what's the purpose of doing the USDC then moving it over to from Coinbase?
Because Coinbase or because Binance is an international exchange and it's difficult to work with US banks to get it there. So one of the ways to just go around that is to just put it into Coinbase then into Binance. I know it's a pain, trust me. It's getting your money into the system is frankly was the most head scratching pain point for me when I was starting out. But once I got past that and then you have a flow and you figure out how to do it, then it's very, very simple. But at the beginning, just getting the money into the system is incredibly painful. So that's why I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, you need to do a series on this, on just those basic level things, because I think that if you could show us, because I don't understand it, so if you could show us those basic level things, then when you go a little bit higher level, we would have a little bit of frame of reference. Because like when you're showing your screen and showing what you're doing, I, as somebody who would love to be investing but has no idea how, I don't even, like, you're speaking a completely foreign language to me.
Yeah, I was thinking about, should I do a series here on this channel, like a 10-part like introduction to crypto series, if that would make sense on this channel. Let me know if you think it would. I've been thinking about how I'd put that together. They could be like 5-minute videos each with like each step on the path to it. I'd be happy to do that for people. I'll consider that, or maybe we could do as a members only series as well.
And we do have some super chats if you want to answer those. Or
oh yeah, yeah.
Annie, so what's the difference between the Flare DeFi and the Kava DeFi?
DeFi? The DeFi platforms. Well, I mean, that's the new play, is all of these DeFi platforms. I don't know the difference in those two platforms. Basically, when you look at a decentralized finance blockchain, it's just not tied to any state. It's a form of finance that does not rely on the Federal Reserve, the Bank of Israel, or whatever. It's a decentralized financial intermediary, such as a brokerage. Okay, and that means there's exchanges, there's banks, and instead it utilizes these smart contracts and on the blockchains. And the most common one, the reason why Ethereum is so strong right now, is because this is one of the most popular, most common, is Ethereum. And a lot of platforms are using the Ethereum blockchain. And that's why it's been running up so much. So basically, it's just a collective term for financial products that are accessible to anyone. You know, it's not just for the wealthy. It's not just for state governments. That's the whole point of the blockchain, is that it is a level playing field. That's the idea.
Travis Hires, hi, Mr. Morris. I just made my Coinbase account, TD Ameritrade account. I've done some research, but where do you recommend I start? Moderate volatility investments, would like to expand into more.
Well, I think, you know, right now in crypto, I think there's the huge upsides in crypto. That's personally where I'm most invested. I'm not a big paper assets person, you know, when it comes to stock market. I'm much, you know, I'm a real estate investor, precious metals investor, and crypto investor. So I'm happy to do some, if you guys want me to, I'm happy to do some training videos here and what I'm learning and teaching you along the way. Okay.
T. Johnson is asking, which Binance platform, US or foreign platform, are you using? Is that why you need a IPV?
VPN. Yeah. VPN. So I use the international version. This was what I was taught at the beginning, is because you have access to way more alternative coins on the international version of Binance. That's why I use it. You could also use KuCoin, KuCoin is another one, but I use Binance. I like the platform a lot.
Jeff Brown, YouTube videos on how to transfer between exchanges. Do not transfer coins on exchanges unless you find the correct video, or you could lose it all.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of fraud in crypto, of course. So you just need to be very careful, you know, making sure that your wallets are, like, you just, you know, don't ever tell anybody your wallet information. Just keep it all, you know, keep your passwords locked securely. Use a service like 1Password or LastPass and just, you know, be very, very secure with it. There's a lot of money to be made, but there's also a lot of fraud out there. So just be careful, you know.
Carol Branch is a new member. Reed Smith, originally U.S. currency, was on hemp paper too. Jackie Carlisle, good morning, Clayton and David. As a reminder from yesterday's question I had about auto refinancing, did you happen to find out any information?
Oh, the auto refinancing. Yeah, there was a company I had it on my other computer. Well, there's three, and one of them actually was a sponsor of our show, and I couldn't remember off the top of my head, but it was Lightstream. Check out Lightstream. It's a division of SunTrust Bank. I believe I have their website here for you. Here it is. Lightstream. Yes, go to lightstream.com/invest. I would say that try that. They've got fantastic, and I think, didn't you, David, try this one? Or one of
no,
our,
not Lightstream, I haven't.
One of our team members tried it and said they saved a boatload of money. So this is a good one to do refinancing for your auto. Try them out. So lightstream.com/invest. That's a good one to try.
The only debt I only have, my car is my only debt.
Yeah. Your minimum credit score for Lightstream, I think, is 660. Is yours higher than 660 or 660 and above? That's the if you need a lower one, there's another one called Ally or Open Road. Open Road Lending is another one, but yeah, Lightstream I would say is a really good one. We've had good success with them. Hope that helps.
Fernando Martinez, how do I become a member again? I love the show. I sent you a link in chat. Fernando, to help. And then Travis Hires, thank you, Mr. Morris. That was very helpful. Do those videos! Exclamation point, thumbs up.
Okay. I will work on it. I've got a whole folder of crypto training stuff that I take notes on, so I can put that together for you.
And then you can have me watch the videos, and then I'll tell you if I learn from them, and if not, you'll redo them, because I'm going to be your perfect demographic, because I'm somebody who wants to invest but has no clue, so.
Perfect.
But that concludes the Super Chats.
Okay. Hey, we got a newsletter. Forgot about that. Forgot to even mention it today. We have a daily newsletter that we publish every day, Monday through Friday. You can grab it. Just go to morninginvest.com. You're definitely going to want to be on this newsletter, because we're going to be sending out more tips on trading, investing, and how to do this. Lots of different insights we're going to be adding to the newsletter and value that we're bringing to you. So we're going big in 2021. So sign up, morninginvest.com, totally free, delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning, Monday through Friday. All right, everyone. Thanks for joining us today on the show. Our thanks to Netgear as well for supporting the show. Thanks to David for picking up the slack when I had to run out for a delivery that wasn't there. And thanks to this guy for keeping his eye on everyone. Much love to all of you. We'll see you bright and early tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time.